and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Michigan is center stage for the presidential politicking. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Harris and Trump both hold rallies in the Detroit, Michigan area tonight at the same time. Early voting in that key battleground state kicks off tomorrow.
Taylor Swift will be performing in New Orleans, and that's prompting measures like additional early voting sites due to the expected crowds. Colin Arnold with the Department of Homeland Security.
We've added another early voting location just because of the anticipated crowds that will be here throughout the day and night during a lot of these nights next week.
There is a lot of hope that the death of the Hamas leader could mean the end of fighting in Gaza. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin.
Sinwar's death provides an extraordinary opportunity to achieve a lasting ceasefire, to end this awful war, and to rush humanitarian aid into Gaza.
Sinwar was killed by Israeli forces earlier this week. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More families in Wisconsin are taking exemptions for routine childhood vaccinations than most other states. The state immunization program says about 85% of Wisconsin kindergarten students are up to date on their measles, mumps, and rubella shots. The national average is closer to 93%. Voting rights groups are ramping up their efforts after young adults in Wisconsin got intimidating text messages about voting. Molly Carmichael is a recent college graduate and a member of the League of Women Voters.
Right off the bat, I was pretty upset because I figured this was also going out to other people, maybe people who have never voted before and are excited to vote this November. And so getting a text like that would certainly be really alarming.
Critics say the intent is to scare young people into not voting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, October 21st. The Central Wisconsin State Fair Board of Directors will meet at 6:30 at the fair office in Marshfield. The Port Edwards Public Works regular monthly meeting will take place at 4 at the Marshall Bueller Center. The Town of Rome will hold their Parks and Recreation Committee meeting at 5. In Portage County, the Board of Adjustment will meet at 4 at the Portage County Annex. The joint meeting of the Health and Human Services Board and the Space and Properties Committees will meet at 4:30 at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Stevens Point Common Council meeting will begin at 7 in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. In Adams County, the Library Board will meet at 2 at the Library. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Badgers and the Wildcats. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Wisconsin takes on the Northwestern Wildcats tomorrow, kickoff at 11 a.m. Head coach Luke Fickell was asked, how has the Badgers' offensive line improved this season?
I would say as much as anything is just their ability to play together. We've had consistency up front in particular across the board. But I think their ability to, figure out what it is that they do well and play together.
NFL, the Packers host the 5-1 Texans on Sunday. NBA, the Bucks losing last night in Dallas, 109-84. The Bucks finished the preseason 1-3. Were the rookies paying attention last night to head coach Doc Rivers?
Well, sometimes they hear you. Sometimes they don't. It's just normal. There's so many things going on in their mind. When I think they're struggling hearing it, I say less. When I think they're open to hearing it, I say more. And you just got to have a good read.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-40s. And mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high into the low 70s. Sunny, warmer, and upper 70s on Sunday. Temps stay above average to start next week, as highs stay in the 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure. Down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are back on the road to face Northwestern. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, my guest for Freaky Friday is Racine paranormal investigator Ron Helmick, who brings actual audio footage of a ghost. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr stops by.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, October 18th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30, we're going to welcome in our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Fire Chief Todd X is going to join us. We're looking forward to talking to Chief X and talking about Fire Prevention Month in October and some other tips for that. Looking forward to that conversation. Right now, we have joining us State Senator Patrick Teston, Senate District Number 24 Representative. And one of the things that Senator Teston and I are going to do right now is something that we've been continuing to do here, where we interview every one of our candidates. We give them equal amount of time, same questions, something that we've done here at WFHR for many decades, and greatly appreciate the time, as always, Senator. Looking forward to being able to get into one of our kind of normal conversations, if there's any normal, really, but next month. But right now, I appreciate the time, and thank you so much for joining us. We've done this for a while now, but for those that may not know, can you tell us a little bit about your origin story? Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Well, sure. So I originally grew up in Marinette, Wisconsin. My folks were lower middle class, and they struggled, but always instilled in me the value of hard work, and that if you want something in life, you're going to have to go out and earn it for yourself. And found myself in central Wisconsin. I went to college at UWSP and really fell in love with the region, the area, great place to live, and knew that this was going to be my home. And after college, I had the opportunity to work on some campaigns, transitioned into a career in sales, and then made a long shot run for the state Senate in 2016. And I've had the privilege ever since of representing the 24th Senate District. And it's one of these jobs that I absolutely love, because no 2 days are the same, and you never know what issues that you're going to work on. And it's one of those jobs, you get out of it what you put into it, and hoping for another term down in Madison.
Why did you decide to run? I know this was so long ago. Can you remember what? No, I'm kidding. Why did you decide to originally run?
One of the main reasons why I ran back in 2016 is I've always loved the state of Wisconsin, and it's given me so many opportunities, and want to make sure that others have those same opportunities and even better opportunities moving forward, and the opportunity to give back. And I've been a long proponent of public service, and I felt this was the best avenue that I could make the biggest difference. And I'm proud of the track record I have working across the aisle with my Democrat colleagues to focus on solutions and really advance our area. And there's still a lot more that needs to be done, and I'm hoping to get back to Madison in early January as a member of the Joint Finance Committee as we get ready for the next state budget to tackle some of those challenges.
What qualifies you? How do you feel you specifically can best represent the area?
Well, I think it's my experience. You know, it's kind of interesting, because when you first get elected, no one hands you a book on how to be a good legislator. It's one of those, either you sink or you swim. And my ability to sit down with my colleagues and various stakeholders when issues come up and really try and find common ground. I did that right away. I made sure when I first got elected, I reached out to my Democratic colleagues in the Senate and said, if you guys have ideas you think we can work together on, I know there will be some areas where we're pretty far apart, but let's try and find that common ground. And that's what we've really worked on. We would define the playing field. And as a result of that, we actually got bills done, rather than focusing on what divides us, the focus on actual solutions, whether it's helping our manufacturers, our tech college system, I mean, you name it, it's our healthcare system. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, it's one of those, the more that you do this, there are still things I learn about state government every single day. It takes some time. And as a member of the Finance Committee, you get to be one of 16 in the room as you work on the biggest, most important vote that you take in every legislative session, which is the state budget. And I think that's made me a more impactful and effective member of the state Senate and the legislature as a whole, being in that room, and I really enjoy it.
How do you feel your previous jobs have prepared you for this one?
Well, working in sales, you've got to be able to work with people, and it's about, you know, taking an idea or a concept and really selling that to other members within your house, within the other house, through the committee process, being able to have good communication skills. And, you know, when people have objections, being able to address those and address their concerns, I think that has served me extremely well. And most importantly, the ability to listen. Oftentimes, I think that's the most important job of a legislator, is being able to listen to other points of view and other opinions, because as you can imagine, in a district where you represent just shy of 180,000 people, you can get a lot of different ideas and perspectives. And so being able to look through an issue through someone else's lens, I think really helps and pays dividends.
We're speaking with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston right now. And, sir, what are your passions? What would you like to focus on if reelected?
Well, one of my main passions has been, and it's kind of still surprises me, is as it relates to how we can increase affordable health care here in the state. You know, this was an issue area prior to being in the legislature. Health care was one of those areas that I was not comfortable with, but in my first state budget, we worked on some healthcare initiatives, and it sparked an interest that I had no idea ever resided in me. But having chaired the Senate Health Committee for two sessions and this past session as the vice chair, there are a lot of areas that we need to address. We have a huge provider shortage, whether it's a lack of physicians, nurses, even CNAs, and doing what we can to find ways to empower our providers to do the jobs that they were trained to do, which is take care of patients. That's why I was so proud this last session. After 6 years of working on this bill, we finally got it signed into law, working with the Marquette School of Dentistry to create a rural scholarship program. Well over half of Wisconsin counties are dental deserts. And when you talk to school administrators, the number one reason why kids miss school is toothaches, because they aren't able to see a dentist. And we know, based on testimony from others, Dr. Miller, for example, who used to run Deer Creek Dental outside Tolma, never dreamed that he would find himself in Monroe County. But he just recently retired from a very successful practice. And it just goes to show that our areas like Central and Western Wisconsin, they can be areas that can provide a great career for some of these high-level professionals. And so I want to take that approach with some other healthcare professions and see if we can't build upon this model to help reduce the shortage that we have here in our area of the state.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, what do you feel are some of the biggest, if not the biggest, challenges facing your fellow Wisconsinites?
Well, right now, as I've been going out throughout the 24th Senate District and even around the state, obviously the economy is at the forefront for a lot of folks' concerns. I mean, high prices have really impacted individuals, especially those on fixed incomes. That's one area where I think there's still more work that needs to be done relates to tax relief. You know, that's where one area where we had a difference of opinion between the legislature and the Evers administration in this last budget, where we wanted to provide tax relief for all taxpayers in the state. The governor went a different route and vetoed 95% of the tax cuts we sent them. We tried doing individual bills that only one got signed into law, and that was dealing with increase in the child care and dependent tax credit to mirror the federal level. But I do think with the state looking at a $4.5 billion surplus, I do think we need to continue to have that conversation. Hopefully have a sit down with the governor to see what he can support as it relates to tax relief. And then also making sure that we're making our investments in our rural infrastructure. The Agriculture Road Improvement Program, which is a new program where we dedicate $150 million. In the first round of funds that went out, For the first $50 million, there was over $200 million in projects. For the second round of $100 million, they received nearly $300 million in projects. So that just goes to show, even though with the significant investments that we've made, there's still a huge need out there to ensure that our farm-to-market roads are being brought up to repair. And so, I hope that's one area that we can continue to make critical investments in.
Survey after survey, poll after poll, we are seeing people are done with the divisiveness of today's politics. How important is it to you to be able to reach across the aisle to work with the other side?
I think it's critically important. And that's one thing I always get a chuckle out of when I'm at an event or a parade or going door to door, and I'll go to introduce myself and they'll say, well, I'm a Democrat. And I always laugh and say, tell them, so are my parents, and I still talk to them. And I think the more that we can have a dialogue and a respectful one at that, understanding that, you know, I think at the end of the day, Republicans and Democrats all want what's best for our country, our community, our state. We have different ways of going about it. But I'm a firm believer, going back to what Bill Clinton said in his inaugural address in 1993, that there is nothing wrong with America that cannot be fixed by what is right with America. And I still believe that holds true today. And I think when we can focus on what unites us rather than divides us, that's going to go a long way in healing the political divide in this country.
You're running to represent the 24th District once again. How would you best describe the district?
I would say it's a rural district. I mean, especially under the new district lines. I mean, the largest municipality in the 24th Senate District is the city of Stevens Point. Followed by Wisconsin Rapids, but it's a district that spans all of Jackson County, Eastern Monroe County, most of Juneau County, Northern Adams County, Southern Wood County, and a portion of Portage County now. So we have a very rural district, so that presents some unique challenges and opportunities. We have a heavy ag economy with a lot of potato and vegetable growers, a lot of cranberry producers, dairy farmers. But then we also have big industries such as Century Insurance. We have paper mills here in central Wisconsin that have faced challenges over the last several years. And then we have great installations like Fort McCoy, which provide a tremendous economic impact for western Wisconsin. So it's a unique district, and it's a privilege to represent it.
Any final statements, sir?
Well, it's been a pleasure working for the people of the 24th Senate District for the better part of the last 8 years, and I'm asking folks for their support on November 5th for the chance to go back for another four. This is not anything I take for granted, and every day I walk into the Capitol, it's an absolute privilege and honor to represent my communities, and I look forward to doing that for another 4 years if given that opportunity.
Greatly appreciate the time, as always, sir. Thank you so much for that. That will conclude the wrap of that part of the interview. Now, we do have a couple of more minutes left with the senator, and we only get to do this once a month, so I do want to take advantage of that time. And I know that you just left our fall legislative breakfast here in Rapids. How did that go?
It went great. We had a tremendous turnout, so hats off to Mid-State Technical College for hosting and to the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber for putting this together. It was myself, Representative Krug. We had Congressman Van Orden, as well as Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher. And it was great to field questions from the audience, you know, some of the very same issues we just talked about in the previous interview. And it's good to see so many folks from the community come out to share their perspective, ask questions, voice their concerns, because now is the time, as we gear up for the next legislative session and gear up for the next state budget, that people need to be reaching out to their lawmakers, because once the budget gets introduced, it's going to be horses out of the barn. We're going to be flying 60 miles per hour and working to get a state budget done by the end of June next year.
And I wanted to wrap up being able to talk with you a little bit about this, because I can't help it. I love a good segue. I love a good transition. And after we're done speaking with you, we're going to be having our Wisconsin Rapids Fire Chief in. Well, you were recently named Legislator of the Year by the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin Rapids Charitable Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about the award and what it meant to you?
It meant a lot. Being recognized by our brave men and women who serve their communities and fire and EMS, it's humbling and flattering. And I was nominated by Pittsville Fire Chief Jerry Miner, who, to his credit, you want to talk about a guy who has been in the trenches legislatively for years, trying to pass a simple, what would seem like a simple bill, banning novelty lighters in the state of Wisconsin, because oftentimes, you know, we get flooded with counterfeit products that aren't safe. And Jerry tried for years and years and years, I think almost 15 years, to get this bill passed. And we finally got it done. And it was one of those, it took someone with a different perspective on how to get it done. And we recalibrated the bill and we got it done. And it was really credit to Jerry's leadership. So I was very honored that he nominated me, but really the honor belongs to him and everyone who helped get this bill done. You know, my deepest appreciation for the men and women who serve in public service, especially in fire and EMS.
And as always, appreciate the conversation from you, sir. Looking forward to talking again. Safe travels out there, and thank you again for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks, James.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Waba.
We are joined right now by our great friend, Tom Heiser, with our monthly Veterans Update. Tom, it is great to have you with us in studio. How you been, sir?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Pretty good.
Doing good.
Great. Good.
Tom, I got a right away note. I love that hat. That's a great hat you got there,
that,
sir.
That's pretty cool.
That's a great
cool.
hat
yeah.
right there. That's a good one.
You had to remember what hat he was wearing.
Yeah. It happens to me, too. It happens to me, too.
Morning decisions.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Tom, what do we got on the docket today?
Well, number one, this month is Agent Orange Awareness Month.
Mm.
Now, every Vietnam veteran came in contact with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the whole month of the orange blossoms, mm-hmm. Orange October.
Yeah. My Uncle Tim, shout out to my Uncle Tim, just talked to him this weekend and everything, suffered from this and struggles with it. And it was something that didn't get attention for a long time.
That's right.
And it's just really in recent years that he's been getting a lot of the care that he's needed for a long time. Appreciate what our VFW does and with the orange blossoms, with everything the above.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, the interesting thing is... we've been doing research because we do talks at schools quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And research has shown that Vietnam veterans' descendants could go seven generations down.
Oh.
I mean, that's great, 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 great mm-hmm.
yeah.
kids.
Yeah.
So it's very important to get that in your mm-hmm. records.
Yes, mm-hmm. it is.
Okay, anniversary date. Mm-hmm. Afghanistan war began in 2001
mm-hmm.
on today. Monthly breakfast over at Grace's. They're eating, and I'm sitting with you guys.
Yeah,
I was just saying you're missing out. Tom.
You drew the short straw there. Yeah.
And then on Tuesday we have the Auburndale Coffee with the Vets up at Auburndale High School. That's mm-hmm. quite an event up there. People from Rapids are going yeah. up there and everything.
Nice.
And then Morning Joe and Dole. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Over
Stevens
Point.
That's a great one. So good.
And Tuesday night, Culver's night for the VFW. So we were there from 4 to 8, opening the door, greeting people, and remember, everybody's got to eat.
Yep, yep.
That's right.
So get some Culver's in your life and yeah. know that you're helping out your community at the mm-hmm. same time.
Right. And then on Wednesday, we have the Heroes Cafe at Crossview Church starting about 7:30. And let's see, also on Wednesday is American Legion Post 9's meeting at 7 o'clock.
Tom, real quick, if you yes. don't mind, when it comes to Heroes Cafe, have had some listeners ask over the years and everything and like to bring it up from time to time. If you guys are ever looking for volunteers or ever need some extra hands over there, please let us know. We'll make sure to mention it to the audience.
Right, and if anybody is interested, just contact Heroes or Crossview Church. Ask for Pastor Dan DeRoshi. He's in charge of it over there. He's an Air Force veteran from Iraq, so they can always use some extra help.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then
we had American Legion Post 9 meeting on Wednesday, October 9th, and going from there.
Okay, Thursday we have the Rudolph American Legion Post. Their meeting is at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then also on Thursday, Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 101 is having their meeting. New start time. We're starting at 5 because, you know, darkness and driving slippery roads. So we're starting at 5 o'clock instead of 6. And then on Friday, we're doing the flag presentation at the Assumption football game.
That's going to be cool.
Nice. Yeah. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. You're
Wear your warm clothing
so
that
true.
Night.
Yeah,
exactly.
True.
And then on Sunday, October 13th, the U.S. Navy was established in 1775.
So yeah.
They're having their anniversary this year.
That, by the way, that's one of my favorite things because it's like, wait a minute. 1770, that was before we had a country.
Isn't that crazy? That's amazing. That's amazing.
Those ships would probably be cool.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And then on Thursday, the VFW meeting on October 17th, starting at 6. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday's anniversary, the Women's Army Corps established in 1978 at the WACS.
Very nice.
It's another great one.
Grenada started in anniversary on October 23rd. Grenada campaign began in 1983.
Gosh.
I know.
That's incredible. I got goosebumps when you said that, man. I hadn't thought about it, and that it was that. It's crazy to think that it was that long ago, and at the same time, not that long ago. Mm-hmm. You know, especially for those of us that lived through it and everything. Mm-hmm. That's wow.
Yeah, that is not
ancient
history.
Glad you noted that. No.
And then Wednesday, on October 23rd, is the Heroes Cafe again at Crossview, mm-hmm. and then on 28th, the Honor Flight number 50. Out of Wausau returns.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you figure they take about 100 vets mm-hmm. per trip.
Yeah.
That's how many vets have gone.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And then also on Monday the 28th, the author of Tailspin book signing will be at Crossview Church. That's mm-hmm. one where the gentleman fell like 4 miles and lived.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. Yes.
Yeah, you sent us some information on mm-hmm. that, Tom, and that's a fascinating story. Yeah.
So the author is going to be here, so a good chance to sit down and talk mm-hmm. with him and, you know, see what he learned. Mm-hmm. And then on November 2nd, we have the state cross-country meet, which the VFW there presents the colors before the meet mm-hmm. starts.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then we have the Allied Vets on Tuesday, November 5th. And on Sunday, November 10th, mm-hmm. Spaghetti Feed, all you can eat.
All right.
VFW post.
All right.
We moved it from November 11th because it's interesting because the veterans have all those events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we go to, and these businesses are saying, come and eat free. Well, we're kind of busy.
So that makes a lot of sense. That's better.
It's a smart idea to move that,
So that's going to be, like I said, on November 10th. And we have the Mobility for Vets every Wednesday over at Waupaca. We're still doing the car raffle. So
yes.
400 cubic inch, 1972 Pontiac Le Mans.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
And if you have any questions, you know, VFW's phone number is 715-600-0401.
And Tom, if people are interested in that car raffle or some of these other things, is that the number to call as far as volunteering or anything else?
Right. And get a hold of them, and our commander, Sean Plant, will answer the phone. And if you would like some tickets, plural, you can get a hold of him, and he will make arrangements to meet with you, and we can go from there.
Very nice.
Be sure to do that, and be sure to spread the word about these events in your community, everybody. We know how far word of mouth can go. While our listenership is gigantic, we know that word of mouth goes a long ways, and that's what's important here, getting this information out there, making sure that all of our vets, all of our citizens out there understand that these events are going on and attending them, and we'll be certainly talking about them on our morning shows as we go along. Tom, always look forward to talking with you, hanging out with you. Thank you for the time.
No problem. I enjoy it. Traveling in this nice cool weather with a nice warm car.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is warning Wisconsin supporters of what she calls the serious consequences if Donald Trump returns to the presidency, especially since the U.S. Supreme Court granted Trump broad criminal immunity.
Just imagine Donald Trump with no guardrails, right? He who has vowed, if reelected, he will be a dictator on day one.
Harris was in Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay yesterday. Drought conditions are reaching severe levels in parts of Wisconsin. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows southwest Wisconsin near the Illinois border and the northeast corner by Michigan's UP are in a severe drought. Conditions are also quite dry in central and southeast Wisconsin. The drought could have an impact on fall colors. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Families have the opportunity to attend free Empower to Connect training in November. This ETC training will help you identify trauma's effects and apply attachment-based principles and support self-care. Hosted by the Wood County Human Services Department, they will provide attachment-rich, healing-center training resources that emphasize root causes and community support. It's on Wednesday, November 13th from 5 to 7. This is open to families, foster families, and those who support them. Farmers who were impacted by Hurricane Helene are getting help from Wisconsin farmers by delivering hay for their animals in North Carolina and Tennessee. This initiative was started by Freemark Innovations, a window supplier in Merrill. They said that they've gathered tens of thousands of bales of hay through donations. They're currently looking for more drivers to take hay down to impacted states. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Bad news from the world of pop music as One Direction's Liam Payne died after a fall from a third-story balcony in Buenos Aires, Argentina, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Payne was discovered while performing in front of Simon Cowell on the show The X Factor, which led him to the band One Direction. Liam Payne was just 31 years old. Saturday Night Live's 50th season is off to a roaring start. A little extra hype thanks to the movie Saturday Night, which tells the story about the moments leading up to the first broadcast of the show in 1975, is probably not hurting. The show's October 12th episode drew its highest ratings in over 3 years with host Ariana Grande and musical act Stevie Nicks. NBC reports that the show pulled in over 5.5 million viewers for the actual episode and a true 516 million views on social media. The first show of the season featuring Jean Smart as the host and Jelly Roll brought in the biggest numbers for a season opener since 2020. 50 years is not a bad run. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-40s, and mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high into the low 70s. Sunny, warmer, and upper 70s on Sunday. Temps stay above average to start next week, as highs stay in the 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I've got some good news about prices, especially at the pump. Gas prices are the lowest that they've been in years right now. The statewide average in Wisconsin is about $3.02 a gallon, and there are 10 counties, including Eau Claire and Sheboygan, where the average price at the pump is under $3. Gas prices have been heading south since this summer when Biden and Harris released 1 million barrels of oil from one of our big reserves to help us avoid a summer gas price surge. And I am all for doing whatever we can to keep gas prices down. So I don't want to hear any more of this talk about tariff taxes on imports. Half our gas comes from overseas. I can't afford to pay more for that. Let's keep our gas prices down. For more Everyday Money news, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend's news, get you up to date, and mark early voting in person starting on Tuesday. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, October 18th, 2024. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our new good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Fire Marshal, Brennan Agin. Brennan, thank you so much for being here today.
Good morning, James. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I want to start off by saying journalistically, you know, integrity, it's always important with these conversations. I have none. I respect and appreciate our firefighters so darn much, and I was looking so forward to all week talking with you guys. For one, we don't get to talk to you nearly enough, and we don't get an opportunity to put a spotlight on our firefighters nearly enough. But of course, it's also October, which is Fire Prevention Month. Perfect time to be able to conversate and have you guys in. So thank you for the time, and thank you for what you and your team do for our community. We really deeply appreciate what you guys do. And with that, we're going to get into what you guys have been doing, where you've been bopping around for Fire Prevention Safety Month and some of these things. And we'll get into that in a moment, even some tips for you. But if you don't mind, Brennan, I'd like to get a day in the life of what it is to be a firefighter and touch on that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah, certainly, James. So for our department, we are a career department. And our firefighters work a 48-96. So their day starts at 7 a.m. and they're there for 48 hours. And then they have 4 days off, that 96 hours. So, you know, we our expectations of them and the tasks that they're dealt with in those 48 hours can differentiate tremendously, you know, depending on what the call is and things. And, you know, in those 48 hours, those guys have requirements by training that they need to do, you know, try to get out in the public and do some public relations if possible, those types of things. And then obviously our priority is 911 calls, right? Yeah. That is our job. And we don't know when that's going to happen, but we're always prepared for it. So our guys know coming into their 48 or our membership knows coming into the 48 what's expected of them, and they do a great job with that.
I appreciate that breakdown. Thank you. Thank you for that, Brennan. I hope that it for one, creates a little empathy for people out there, but also understanding that what the job takes. And maybe we can encourage some more people to be a part of our firefighters out there, wherever you're listening to us. One thing that you said, and I was talking with Brennan beforehand in our pregame here a little bit, I've always admired firefighters, have, as a young kid, always thought about doing that and really respected the task, the job, the work that it takes. But there are parts of this that I hadn't really thought much about, and you said that right there. And I don't know if I or even the listeners have ever really thought about what that is like for those 48 hours, and you don't know what is coming. And the mental task that is, and what that takes. And we have done a really good job in our society of talking about mental health nowadays. And I think now is where the real legwork comes in with that, where, okay, we're all cool talking about it now in a raised voice. Now what do we do? how do we actually fix this or make this situation better? Part of how we do that, I believe, in the studies that I've read have believed, understanding what others are going through and having some of that compassion and having more compassion in our society. And I don't know many jobs, and I don't know many of us that can relate to 48 hours. You don't know what's coming. You have to be prepared for everything and what that can be like on the human brain and the human soul and everything. That gives us an opportunity to kind of put ourselves in those shoes for a second.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great point. You know, you bring up the ideas of mental health, you know, and PTSD, and, you know, more and more studies are coming out, and then we're realizing that that saying things and speaking up, you know, it's not a weakness, right? It's actually a strength to be able to say, you know, maybe we need to look deeper into this. And our department just started last year. We call it a checkup from the neck up, where they meet. Yeah, they meet with a counselor and do a session with them, and it gives them the opportunity to maybe discuss some things that they've had in the past, you know, in their career or what they've seen. And our membership has welcomed it tremendously. We've seen some great things with it. And, you know, like you said, just having that empathy, you know, and people, you know, their thoughts, and, you know, we want to make sure that our employees, you know, obviously cancer is a high risk for firefighters, yeah. right? Yeah. But what we're also finding is it's not just cancer. It's the mental health aspect mm-hmm. of this job as well. It's just as important as our physical ability to do this job.
Yeah, so well said.
Yeah, and it creates a more well-rounded employee, too. You know, somebody yeah. that can offer their services. We're not building up these emotions or these thoughts that they may have had. They can actually speak out about it, and it's a great thing that's coming forward with the science and helping the firefighters in their careers.
It's so encouraging to hear that, and it's no secret. You know, our departments around the country are having a hard time filling the gaps and getting enough people, and maybe these things are part of how we get to that. If anything, it won't hurt getting more good people into these jobs and doing this. Appreciate it. And the job is there's no pause button for that job. So I understand that stuff's going on over there. If you've got to go, let us know. Okay, that comes first.
Yep.
But I do appreciate the time. This is all the more reason why we appreciate the time.
Right.
Those 48 hours, man, you're on the clock. You're on the clock.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, actually, and I want to go shift right into Fire Prevention Month and some of the things that you guys have been able to do, getting into the community and running into kids and going to schools and some of that. Now, can you let us know some of the activities that you guys have been up to?
Sure. Yeah. So Fire Prevention Week is usually the week of October 9th. Started back in 1922, and then it's gained ground ever since. And what we've offered, or what we do offer for Fire Prevention Week, is we go to the schools within the school district here. Our main targets are kindergartners and third graders to try to get out the fire prevention. Started early with the kindergartners. What we do is we take our gear in with us. We show them our gear, show them that we're not scary wearing all of our gear, how to be safe if something were to happen in their home, having a fire escape plan, checking smoke detectors, things like that. Don't be hiding. You know, we're here to help you and to try to get that point across to those children. And then with the third graders, Wood County Fire Chiefs Association has a fire safety trailer, which is great. It goes around the entire county. We have it for that week of Fire Prevention Week, and we put the third graders through that trailer. On the one side of the trailer, it has a mock-up kitchen, and the other side is a mock-up or a pretend bedroom. And we talk about fire safety tips both in the kitchen and in the bedroom, because those are our two areas we're more apt to have a fire. You know, for sure in a kitchen, most fires are caused by kitchen, cooking fires. And then the bedroom part of it is, most fires occur at night, typically. So when you're sleeping, right? And basically teaching those children how to get out of the home safely out of their beds. So it's been great for us. And, between kindergartners and third graders, we reached out to 650 students this year. Yeah.
Wow.
our third graders get a little booklet, a fire safety booklet that's offered through Community Safety Net, and numerous businesses within the community donated to have these books provided for those children. So we can't thank those businesses enough for providing those donations to get that fire safety message to those third graders.
Great.
And then our kindergartners, we give them fire helmets and then a little pencil pouch, just mm-hmm. as a token of, hey, thank you for listening to our topic, our fire safety, and hopefully they can take something away from it.
I ran into one of those kids, and they loved it. They were running around all day with it. And that kid, like many others, had something spark in them, no pun intended. But they had something inside. And I know what I'm talking about with this. Is as I was telling Brennan beforehand, as much as the audience knows, I've rambled many times, that I've been an actor since I was a kid. But before that, I wanted to be a firefighter. And that was the gig to me that seemed it touched on everything I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to do good work. I wanted to be able to help others and be there for others. That really got me on a lifelong love of not only appreciating our emergency workers and our firefighters specifically, but also understanding that this is a job that not everybody can do. Hopefully getting more and more people that can do the job interested in it. It certainly is something that, when you're taking these things, yes, we want to spread the safety for, and the understanding of how to be able to be safe, but also hopefully creating some maybe future firefighters. firefighters. It's a great work that you guys are doing out there, and I appreciate that. So, Brendan, one of the other things we wanted to talk about today, about Fire Prevention Month, is certainly some tips and some things people can keep in mind when it comes to this. You touched on earlier that the majority of fires do happen in the kitchen, and there are other places too. When it comes to putting out smoke alarms, I think this is one of the first ones people wonder. A lot of places you move in and they already have one installed, but where you put your fire alarm is key to so much of this. So, to our audience, where is the best places to be putting those fire safety alarms?
Yeah, certainly. The best places to be putting smoke detectors and smoke alarms is each bedroom. In a hallway is a great spot. Every room in the house is ideal for smoke detectors, your living rooms. Obviously, the bathrooms and the kitchens, they do make special smoke detectors. Otherwise, it sets off, when you're just cooking, even just boiling water, sometimes it'll set those off. But the ideal places is every bedroom and the hallways. In your basement, carbon monoxide detectors are just as important, especially with the winter season coming up here. Everybody's starting up their furnaces. Carbon monoxide detectors are just as important. But to get back to the smoke detectors, yes, bedrooms, hallways, your living areas are ideal spots for those.
It's a great note about the carbon dioxide detectors too, and testing these at least once a month is always a good idea too, making sure those batteries are fresh in there.
Yeah, definitely testing them, and we recommend every time daylight savings is to replace those batteries. Check your smoke detectors monthly, but daylight savings times, when next month here we're falling back, that's a great time, a great reminder to replace those smoke detector batteries. Yeah. And then again in the spring, when we spring ahead an hour, go ahead and replace that battery again. The nice thing is a lot of the new batteries or the new smoke detectors have a 10-year battery in them, which are sealed. So you don't have to remember to replace the battery. But, we still recommend just monthly testing that smoke detector to make sure it's still working for you.
You just made my dad so happy. That's when he changes his, so he's going to feel so good about that. But it's a great, I didn't know that about the modern smoke detectors. That's really cool. Really smart of them to do it that way.
It is. Yeah. And they're, I think they, with the technology, they're finding that people weren't replacing those batteries like they should have. Yeah. So having that 10-year sealed battery really helps tremendously keep the people safe.
Yeah. Staying in the kitchen, a number of things can really help keeping the fire safety up and keeping these numbers down as far as the amount of fires we have. They mentioned that always unplugging countertop appliances. That's another good idea.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anytime you're doing any cooking in the kitchen, too, is making sure that you're staying in the kitchen with that cooking. Anytime you're doing just on the stovetop or, don't leave your residence with the oven going. Mm-hmm. Things like that can help, if something were to happen, you are readily right there to be able to kind of eliminate that issue that you're going to have.
As a side note, too, if they're unplugged, they're not sucking your electricity bill or anything. So, it's a win-win right there for that.
That is right. Correct.
And while this may seem like a simple one, it's really important. And so many stats that I'm seeing come down to people forgetting to turn their oven off or something, making sure that everything is off in the kitchen before you leave it or before you wrap up for however long you're going to be in there.
Yes, definitely. And just staying in the kitchen while we're cooking is so important. It's vital.
That's a great note. Yep. Yeah. I'll say this, especially coming from an Italian household, we are so known for rambling and moving around the house and everything. That's a really good note. That's nice. A really good one. When it comes to the rest of the house, there are certainly every other room has its fire dangers to them. But are there anything that stands out? Like, this is one I see a lot of and people really could use to be more on point with this one. It's a tough question. You see a lot of houses up there.
The kitchen is kind of the biggest one. The big thing is keeping things away from your furnaces, your water heaters, especially if they're gas appliances, those combustibles away from there, helps eliminate that fire danger in your house as well.
You know, and if you're able to really lock down, okay, I know this room, I know the kitchen is safe, I know that I'm doing my job here, it certainly doesn't mean that it can't happen anywhere else, but it does take a little bit off your plate. It does take a little bit off of your mind and your, again, coming back to mental health, of feeling safer. And so much of this is about that, is feeling safe in your own home, feeling good about these things. When it comes to laying your head down at night, that's where the carbon monoxide and some of those other testers come in that are really good to be having up to date.
Yes, for sure. And another slogan that the National Fire Protection Association, NFPA, they have a great website too. They offer materials to help keep you safe with fire and every other regard as far as it comes to fire prevention. But one of the slogans too is close before you doze. So making sure your bedroom door is closed before you fall asleep. That way, if an incident were to occur in the middle of the night, it buys you time, right? We know that fires, with the materials that are burning, they burn hotter, they burn faster. We have less time to get out of our homes with the new materials that things are made out of. And by closing that door, it buys you some time, right? It gives us the ability to hear that smoke detector and then find our way out, have an escape plan, have two ways out of your home are great things, you know, and practicing these with children, you know, your grandchildren and everybody, having a family meeting place, you know, and just, this is a great month to just practice those and kind of reiterates or
kind of go over them, you know, rehash them a little bit and make sure that they're, make sure that they're fresh, especially with little kids. We all know what it's like when you're a little kid, a squirrel, you know, you get distracted real easy and everything. It's never bad to go over those. If I could, this is where I wanted to wrap up, was making an escape plan and making sure that you have that intact in your home. This is something every single home should do. Even if you live alone, it's something that you should have in your head. when I was a kid, we had a lot of stuff growing up happen and everything. And one of the things we went through was having a fire safety plan, you know, having a good escape plan. Well, thankfully, growing up, never had anything happen. Right. But as a grown adult, I was at my parents' house and a fire happened.
Sure.
And that same plan we had from like 11, 12 years ago or whatever, all of a sudden popped in all of our, we talked about this months afterwards.
It stuck in your mind.
It stuck with us.
Sure.
And sure enough, we all felt safer about, or afterwards talking about it, like we felt, you're never going to feel necessarily in control. But you felt a little more prepared for this as it was happening, because you were immediately brought back to, oh, I remember when my dad told me this, or I remember this thing or something. So even a decade later, that plan came into play. Yeah. So you just never know. And it's that break glass in case of needed kind of thing. Hopefully you never have to do it. This is the only time you ever do this plan. But if you want it in there, just in case.
Yeah, definitely. Create that fire safety plan with your family members, or even if you're, like you said, if you live alone, just going through it, you know, having two ways out of your place of residency is great, you know. Mm-hmm. We're creatures of habit, right? We always do one way, right?
Yeah.
But having a backup plan is a great way to help save ourselves and keep ourselves safe. Having a meeting place is another wonderful thing once everybody gets out. That way, when the fire department shows up, everybody's in one area. We can go up to you and say, you know, is everybody out of the residence? Yep, everybody's out. We're all here. You know, that, I mean, that saves so much time for us, you know, and everybody's in one spot. It makes our job, knowing that everybody's out of the residence, everybody is safe, much easier.
Great note there, and just to piggyback on it, if you have animals, having something key, including them in the plan is key to this. Yes. You're going to be worried about them in that moment, so you might as well include them in the plan.
Yes, please do.
If you have dogs or cats, having a leash near the door always is a great one. Or both of those exits, or at least one of those exits, is a great idea.
For sure.
And certainly with other animals, having a carrier or something like that nearby. These are a part of your family. You're going to care about them in these moments just as deeply. So having them a part of the plan isn't a bad idea either. And again, going over these plans, it doesn't have to be October. It doesn't have to be Fire Prevention Month to do this.
No.
And it doesn't have to be ultra, while it is serious, it doesn't have to be ultra serious. You can enjoy this with the kids. You can enjoy this with your family, or just doing it yourself and everything. And And again, coming back to the mental health part of this and such, hopefully you never need it, but having it in the back of your mind, in the front of your heart, is only going to help you going forward and help you feeling better about it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and the kids, children enjoy doing these things.
Yeah,
you know?
They do. Yeah.
Having them draw out, you know, what they think is the appropriate way, and then maybe helping adjust that as needed, and then practicing it. You know, once you have it in place, like you said, James, like practice it, go through it, and it just builds that muscle memory. So if something, God forbid, something were to happen, you're ready for it.
That's a great note. Brandon, you killed it today. You did a great job, man. I really do appreciate it. Unfortunately, you did such a good job, you're going to have to come back. Oh. You're going to have to come back sometime, and not just in October. I want you guys on more on the air with us and everything. If people want to find out more, be able to reach out to our local fire department, is there a way to do that, Brandon?
There is. And you can, the city's website, Wisconsin Rapids, on a link there, you know, under the departments, our fire department website, we have things that we can offer you. You know, even calling the fire station too, speaking to myself regarding fire safety tips or anything of that nature. National Fire Protection Association, the NFPA website, offers, like I said, great resources for people, especially for fire prevention.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anytime you need, just give us a call. We'll gladly help you out any way we can.
Yeah, any questions or anything, there are no bad questions, anything like that, reach out to them, please ask. And certainly to anybody out there that is thinking about becoming a firefighter or learning more about that, please reach out and do. We always need more good people involved in this, volunteers and above. Brennan, stay safe out there. Say hi to the rest of the team for us. Thank you again for everything you do in the community, putting up with my questions and joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you, James. I appreciate the time, and I welcome coming back again.
Looking forward to it. And looking forward to another week of Midday Magazine. We send a big thank you and shout out to our scheduler, Pam Hilke, doing the amazing work she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. Appreciate all you listeners out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll have a guest from Planned Parenthood on how the fight to restore women's health care rights is not losing steam as Election Day draws near.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS